final part of this today. I know it is, but he's already given me another thing to talk about past this point. By the way, we won't be here next week, but Brother Joe will be bringing the message next week, and I already know part of what he's bringing in. It'll fit right in, believe me, and come out and support the Lord and show Joe that you care about the time that he's going to take preparing a message for God for you. So God has led me this morning to end this little series on how you are to become the person you're supposed to be by telling you about how you should dress. You ready for this? Is anybody's house different than my house? People walk around and they say, should I wear this or should I wear that? Should I wear these shoes or should I wear those shoes? Anybody else have that same experience? Anybody? Is that a shared experience? Or are we just, is that an amen? I went to my office to print out what I had written, and little person came to my door and stuck her foot in and said, the black ones or the white ones? She's here with me this morning. She has the black ones on. I didn't tell her how to dress. I just gave her the answer that she wanted. We need to learn how to dress for Christ Jesus. And it's not about the clothes that you have on this morning. It's not about the earthly clothes that you have on this morning. It's about the spiritual clothes that you're supposed to put on before you ever walk out your door. In fact, you should put them on before you go to bed even and wake up with them on. And only take them off in case of a dire emergency, just long enough to get in the shower and hop back out. In fact, these are clothes that you never take off, to be quite honest. And it's called the armor of God. To complete that person that God wants you to be, he says, get yourself clothed with these items. And you'll find this in Ephesians chapter 6, if you'd like to turn with me this morning. This won't take us long. It's a very short set of scripture. It's Ephesians chapter 6. Excuse me. Ephesians chapter 6. Our young people are here today, so I'm not going to skip any of this. And when I say young person, it can be of any age, especially those who need Christ in their life and have never accepted Him as Lord and Savior and God as Father. This scripture starts out in chapter 6 and says this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Are you with me? If you have a young person with you, you should share this with them. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. What's he talking about here? If you would have read chapter 5 with me, if we'd had time to do that, you would have understood that Paul's talking about this relationship with each other, and with him especially, between man and wife, husband and wife, father and daughter, father and son, mother and children. It's a relationship as a family. God led Paul to tell husbands to treat your wife as the person you love most. who Paul said that was? Yourself. That's what Paul said. Paul said, look in the mirror. Who do you love the most? You're looking back at that person. So treat your wife like the person you love the most on this earth. Paul was pretty perceptive, wasn't he? He said, if you want to have a good relationship, husband and wife, treat your wife like the person you love the most on this earth. Then by the time you get to chapter 6, he's talking about children obeying parents, and that means all of us obeying our Father God. All of us. To walk in the ways that we're supposed to walk. In fact, the scripture, I'm not going to get into it this morning, but it says, walk circumspectly in the Lord, which means to check out what you're doing and how you're walking at every point. Truck drivers do a certain thing before every trip, or they're supposed to. Back 2 weeks or a week ago, saw DJ up the truck stop checking out his truck. He was doing a final inspection before he had to go out on the road the next morning, right? Walking around his truck, checking everything. Every tire, bumping everyone, making sure the pressure was up, making sure his brakes were okay, the slack adjusters, everything. He was doing a full inspection. That's a circumspection inspection. That's going around the whole thing. God says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Doesn't mean obey a parent that tells you to do something nasty or bad. That's when you need to go somewhere to the law and tell them that someone's trying to make you do something that you shouldn't be doing. You know, you're not supposed to obey pastors that try to make churches do the wrong thing and lose their focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're supposed to obey your parents and those in authority above you as the Lord requires you to do with love and with peace. In fact, that's what this scripture is about here in Ephesians chapter 10. It says this, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. That promise is that if you obey your mother and father in the Lord, do it in the Lord, it says it will be well with you and you may live long on the earth. It's a commandment with promise. He goes on, he says, and you, fathers, and this means fathers and mothers, and you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. This is completing the person that you're supposed to be in all the scripture we've been through the past five weeks. This is the epitome of what we're supposed to do when we decide to walk on out in the world. We're supposed to use these items that he's about to explain to us, being a completed person for Christ Jesus, being that witness we're supposed to be. Then it says that if you're a servant, if you're working at a job, verse 5, it says, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ. There again, if you're employed somewhere, you're supposed to be the best person you can be and be a Christian while doing it. Got me? Are you with me? Not my words, Christ's words. This is completing the person that we're called to be. It means everywhere you go, go with Christ. He has to be your companion. You can't leave him behind. You can't leave him at the truck stop. You can't leave him at the plant. You can't leave him at school. You can't leave him outside the school. You can't leave him outside the plant. You're supposed to bring him in with you. Let him be the guide in your life. They use the word slave here. It says also in verse 6, don't just do this with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. These are some big words, but we need to break it down. Again, it just means this, very simply, kids, listen, kids of all ages, wherever you go, let Christ be the person that you are trying to imitate. What did he do? He gave himself freely, and honestly, he did the best job ever, and he forgave. And wherever he went, was there trouble and turmoil? Yes, there was, but there also was peace following him. Do what you do in verse 7 with goodwill and service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you, masters, if you're over someone, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven and that there is no partiality with him. You're almost dressed, but not quite. You can't be partial to one person over the other. It's hard not to do that, isn't it? Especially in a workplace where you have so many people. But guess what? Especially in a church setting where you have so many people. I've heard it been said that it's a good thing we only get together twice a week. I heard some giggling. I should hear some amen. All right. I heard that, Mary Jo. So you think I can't hear up here, but I can. And I'm glad you say it, amen. Wherever we go, we are supposed to be the person that brings peace to that situation. Peace. And it becomes very clear here just in a second. Starts in verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." You know why Paul writes this, the vision? Paul, first of all, is in jail. He's writing this. He's in jail. Part of the prison ministry. And he's in jail. He's locked up. You know why he's locked up? For being a Christian. For following the way. And he's writing to other people, telling them what to do. Doesn't matter whether it lands you in prison or whatever. Follow the Lord and follow your witness. And bring peace wherever you are. Whether you're the boss on the job or you're the person doing the lowliest work on the job, you are supposed to have Christ with you wherever you go. And he's about to dress you so that you can get through the arrows that are going to be thrown at you for being a Christian. See, the clothes he wants you to wear is to protect you from the instruction you just got to be the complete person that you're supposed to be. We've been talking about, God, help me be the person I'm supposed to be. Well, he just gave you the final instruction. Wherever you go, whatever you do, go ye therefore in the Lord. And then he says, before he starts talking about the actual clothes, he says, you need to be strong. Because wherever you go, if you go with the Lord, you're going to be criticized. You're going to be criticized by some quietly for praying at lunch today. How many of you will pray before you have lunch today? I didn't ask you to hold up your hands, but I'm glad you are. You need to gather strength from the Lord. What's verse 10 say? Somebody read it again before we go on. We're almost done. What's verse 10 say? Power of his might. He's going to empower you if you go with him. Got it? If you think, I just can't do that, I can't do it, I can't testify, I can't witness, you don't have to get up and preach and teach like this. You just need to go wherever you go as the peacemaker. In fact, that's what God led me to teach on from the time we get back till I don't know when. It's about now how to walk. And Joe's going to talk to you about becoming. I get back, God willing, we'll be talking about how to walk that walk. In fact, Joe inspired me because as I am leaving, he's going to be speaking, and as I'm coming back, he's going to be leaving to go on a big walk. And I'm praying the Lord will walk with him wherever he goes. I'm praying the Lord will walk with you wherever you go. But I'm also praying before this day is over that we learn to walk. Why, isn't it strange that Paul starts out telling you how to dress by saying, finally? Doesn't that seem backwards? Wouldn't you think that that would be the last? But it's not. It has to be the first. Because Paul says you have to go with courage that you receive from the Lord in order to walk. It takes courage. It takes courage to be the peacemaker and not be the person that puts someone down, but to lift them up even though something terribly wrong has happened. So he says then, here we go, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Here you go. That's why God wants you to be strong and wants you to take power from him. Because on my own, I'm powerless. Remember that scripture from a couple weeks ago? On my own, I can do nothing and I am nothing, but with God, all things are possible. Paul's inspiration is from God. He's always receiving his inspiration from God. And he goes on to say this. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. That's how to kind of say it so we all understand it. Because the devil is scheming against you at every time in your life. And the more you try to walk with the Lord, the more the devil, at least temporarily, will try to get your attention and lead you astray. That's why you need the armor. In the olden days, the knights wore armor. And their most vulnerable points were called chinks in the armor. You know what a chink is? It's not an Asian person. Don't ever say that. That's true. You ever seen a log cabin being... You've seen a log cabin. The space between the logs is where you put something. You put something in there to keep the weather out, and it's called a chink. It's an opening that needs filled. And God says he wants to dress you in his armor, not the armor of men. If you put on the armor of men, there will be an opening somewhere that something can get in. Won't there? If you trust in the person of this day to protect you, and God and man's rule and man's protection, I'm talking spiritually here, the devil will find his way in, will he not? Earthly armor is not going to do you any good against the wiles of the devil. Earthly armor cannot help you against the devil and those that are scheming to bring you down. They're trying to steal your peace. Isn't that one of the most valuable things about living? Are those days when you can actually say, I have peace. Aren't those the diamond days? You can remember them. Some people can't remember specific days, but you can remember specifically how you felt, right? In your mind, think of those days when you've actually been able to do whatever it is that brings you the most joy. Maybe sit and read a book and you say, I've got everything done that I need to have done this day. They're few and far between, aren't they? Huh? When you can just sit and say, oh. Take a deep breath. Can you do that? While you're in worship, can you just go ahead? It's up to you. This is free will. No one's going to force you to breathe deeply. But can you just kind of do this for yourself and the Lord? Just go ahead and inhale. And then just for a split second, would you? Just let it out. Cleansing breath. And that's what the Lord wants you to have. That's why Jesus went to the cross. That's why His blood covers our sins, so that you can stop worrying about your sins. So you have a daily walk to do, and you need the armor of God. And here it is. In verse 12 it says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and against the rulers of darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. If you think I'm going to take each and every verse from here on out and expand upon it, I am not. Because I need you to read this, because God wants to dress you. But we're going to end with one thing today that we started with. We're going to end the way God wants it to end today, in my opinion. If you want all of this other instruction to work for you in your life, you need to apply God's armor to yourself. Spiritually. People tell me all the time, I just can't get peace with this. By putting God on and asking Him to help you. If you want peace in your life, you must be a participant in the peace treaty. God will armor you. He will put everything, He'll put the breastplate of righteousness on you. He'll give you the helmet of salvation to know that you're saved. To give you the sword of the Spirit, which is God's holy word, which is what I'm talking to you about this morning. God's holy word is what will save us. Because God's holy word is Jesus Christ. He is the word. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. He gives us this armor and He says, it's free. Put it on. And there's no chance. There's no way that the devil can get in when you have my armor on you. So what does he want you to do? Once you're all suited up and you have become the person that God wants you to be, you're fully ready to walk out in the world and be his witness. What does he want you to do? Right there. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that none would perish, but all who have life eternal. And he did not come to destroy the world, but he came to save the world, so that man could have peace between God and man. So here it is. Verse 15. The banner that we had up here this morning said the gospel shoes of peace, did it not? Paul goes on, he says we're supposed to pray always. I got that. You can read that with me. But the important thing for me today, for us to complete this person, to go out in the world, is verse 15. It says, you must have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace of Jesus Christ. That means this very simple. What we did this morning was celebrate what Christ did for us, right? He walked to the cross on purpose. He said, nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own free will and accord, and if I lay it down, I'll take it up. I'm in control here. And he did it so that you and I can have peace with God first and then with each other. He says, I've given you my word. I've given you my son. I've given you everything that you need to have, my righteousness, my forgiveness, everything that you need to be successful in this world. Now put the armor on and start walking for me with the gospel shoes of peace. Wherever I go, if I'm not bringing peace, my brother, I'm missing the opportunity for me to have it. Because if I bring peace to him, we have peace with each other. It starts the circle of life. It starts the circle of good life between us. If I bring devastation and chaos and hatred, and I don't even like, I detest that word. If I bring that to my brother George and I get him all upset about anything, I want to argue with him about anything, have I brought you peace? I've started arguing that I'm no longer in control of. You see, when people fight, one person ultimately will win that argument, but both people will lose because they will both be upset, won't they? There's no winner. You can say, I won that argument. You might have won the argument, but you didn't win the life cycle. You didn't win what God wants you to win. He says, if you're going to do all this, if I'm going to give you all these things, then would you please walk with the gospel shoes of peace? Man, if I don't have peace in my life for what God did for me, then I need to get back to the altar. It's hard to find it. It's hard to let down, and it's hard to give in to wear those shoes of peace all the time. I understand, but aren't we all a work in progress? Am I done yet? I don't think so. I don't even smell me yet. When you put something in the oven, kind of something, you know, smell the chicken, all the stuff. When that starts, oh man, it's almost done. I can smell. Whip the potatoes up and get the gravy ready. Make me hungry yet. Should be hungry for God and His Word for that peace in your life. I would love for every one of you to walk out this door this morning and say, you know what? I'm going to work at putting those gospel shoes of peace on my feet every day to complete the person that God wants me to be. Lord God, thank you for your word.